So we're so glad that you are in the house of the Lord. If I haven't introduced myself to you, let me do that. I'm Pastor Drew. My wife's Pastor Tamara. She's over with the youth tonight. But we're so glad that you're here. And even in the midst of the rain, man, did you see how much it was coming down? It's like, man, my phone had it wrong. It was like 30%. It's like showing my phone. This ain't 30%. It's pouring down. But the rain, how many know the rain is a sign of the goodness of God? And it is one of the signs of the goodness of God. So we're so glad that you're here tonight. Can we talk about tithes and offerings tonight? You know what? How many know the Bible says that you must believe that God is? And do you know what the "and" part is? Can anybody finish this quote? You must believe that God is, and that He is what? A rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. God is, somebody say, God is a rewarder. You say, Pastor, well, you know what? But we shouldn't be giving because we're gonna. I know that. Your motivation should be that if God never gave you another thing, but provided you a way to live with Him forever in heaven, how many know that should be enough? Amen. How many know that should be reason enough for us to bring tithes and offerings into the storehouse that other people could also, that this place could be open for other people to come with their kids and their grandkids, with their junior hires, with their high schoolers? How many know that? I mean, if never another thing except that God provided salvation for you. How many know that should be enough for you to always be committed to be a tither and a giver forever and ever and ever? But it's interesting because this is just the Word of God. The Bible says you must. How many know when God says you must doesn't mean you may? No, this is a requirement. You must understand. You know where Eve got in trouble? In that commandment. See, she started questioning the character of God. That's how Satan did it. She started to question. Satan deceived Eve by tempting her and saying, look. How many know that tree was a type and shadow of a tithe? Didn't belong. All these other trees in the garden, you know what, you could eat from, but this one you can't. It doesn't belong to you. And it's so funny because think of the same deception. Like, we're so deceived, you know what I mean? Like, that 10% is going to put you, you know, get you out of debt. How many know that extra 10% ain't going to get you out of debt? Can I teach somebody something? You know what will keep you out of debt? Oh, man, this is good. Tithe, Will, that is a good point. You know what will keep you out of debt? You being content in what you have. See, understand what Satan wants to do. He wants to entrap you in bondage. Amen. So you said, Pastor, I didn't come to get a. I had one guy tell me one time. He said, you know what? I don't come to church to get a financial class. How many know people can get touchy sometimes? How many know I hit a nerve in his life? Hey, look, I'm just trying to be a blessing to you, amen. But that's what happens. We get discontent, and you know what the advertisers are trying to do? They're trying to dig a hole. They're trying to create a hole. And once they dig that hole, how many know they have the solution to how to fill that hole? And it's just 4 easy payments of $38.69. How many know 4 easy payments in real time ain't easy? Come on. They're not easy payments. Why are they doing that? Because if you just do yourself a favor, just get your calculator out. You got one on the phone, and do 4 times 38.96, and you'll find out what the price of that is. They don't want to tell you the real price of what their merchandise is. Because if you know the real price, you'll go, nah, that ain't worth it. I ain't going to buy it. But there are 4 easy payments. Made me so mad in the grocery store. You know what? You used to be able to buy a yogurt for 50 cents a piece. Then, you know what? Then they changed it. You know what? 10 for $8.96. Nobody knows how much 10.896 is. You know what I mean? 10 for 8.96. Nobody figures that out. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to disguise how much the thing costs. How come it's not 50 cents a piece anymore? What happened to that? Well, some marketer who went to, you know what, USA Business School, you know what, figured out, well, you know what, hey, you're paying 89 cents a piece for that. What are they trying to do? They're trying to separate you from your money. And then you come into church and go, man, I'd give. You know, God knows my heart, but I just don't do it anytime. Well, here, God does know your heart. I mean, the question is, will you have the integrity to judge your heart? Amen? Because here's what the Bible says. Oh, man, why are you getting in my, I ain't getting in your face. I'm just teaching you the word. Amen? And thank God you don't go to a church where they never teach this stuff. Amen? Well, we might, you know what, we might offend somebody. Shouldn't the pastor care more about, you know what, really how you're doing spiritually than being afraid of not offending you? Yeah. I'm just asking, shouldn't we really care about that part? I'm not trying to offend you. I'm trying to say, hey, look, we only have so much time. You know, let me tell you about God. God is going to hold us accountable for getting Pico Rivera saved. Amen. Amen. And keeping these doors open, it, you know what? It costs money. Tough. You know, that's just how it is. You know what? What I'm saying to you guys all is, you know what? If we get off of the barbaric system of the world and get into God's system of just coming in to the storehouse with our tithes and offerings to give, I'm telling you what, we'll live an abundant life. Amen. We will live an abundant life. You know, and there's a lot of pushback. You know, oh, that's just, you're just teaching the people that. Read your Bible. God says there is a reward if we will be obedient. I don't know what else to do with that. It's just the truth. Tamara and I walk in that all the time. And many people in this church walk in that. So I'll encourage you, man, just come in ready to give with a happy, hilarious heart. Because this is our responsibility. This is not Tamara and our church. This is all our church. This is all our responsibility. You will be held as accountable for getting Pico Rivera saved as I will be. Amen. Different position, but we're all responsible. Does that make sense? Yeah. I mean, does anybody feel beat up? No. Does anybody feel beat up? Okay, you know how? What do you do when you go into the doctor and he's got this? You know, looks at you. Oh, you need a shot. You know what I mean? He goes out, tells the nurse, oh, you know, make this shot. They come in with a big old needle. You know what I mean? And you just go. And they, boom, you know what? And what do you do before you leave? You see, yeah, after you scream. After you scream. What do you say after? Tell me what you say after. You see the doctor, oh, thank you, doctor, thank you. Come on. Amen. Father, I pray that we would, you know what, just recognize that you are trying to get us to be focused on your kingdom. And may we not just do it with our words. May we not just do it with our mouth. May we not be people that just do it some in a superficial level. But Father, may we do it in our heart. And may we be practical in our giving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'm alive because I'm alive in you.
Lift your voices.
I'm alive because I'm alive in you.
Sing it again.
I'm alive because I'm alive in you.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm alive because I'm alive in you.
And it's all
and it's all because the blood of Jesus Christ
that covers me and
amazes that man's life.
And it's all
because of Jesus.
Father, it's certainly because of Jesus that we're alive. And we thank you for your precious gift to us. Father, we pray that the purpose of the church would continue, that we would continue to preach the gospel, and it would not only continue, but would that our borders are being increased, that you are increasing our influence, Father, numerically and as far as just strategically. And we give you all the praise and honor for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen.
Good evening, good evening. Brethren, beloved. You know what? If we have our Bibles, just raise them up over our head. And if you don't, just raise up your hand and give Jesus a shout. Amen. Are you guys ready? Are you guys ready? Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is my Bible. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I am ready to receive the infallible Word of God. And having received the Word of God, I will do the Word of God. Hallelujah.
Amen. So, this Sunday. Come, sit close, bring your Bibles, invite a friend. Church is going to be packed, all three services. So, but this Sunday we will have Fernando Castillo, our Foursquare District Supervisor, with us this Sunday, and it will be a treat for you. You will not want to miss it. And so just be here with a good attitude. Amen? Amen. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah, the TV okay?
Yeah. Come on. So we started talking last week about being free, and I believe that there's a lot of talk about freedom, but it's important that we start to live in a practical application of being free. And so we started to look at Galatians, and I want to continue our study in Galatians, talking about freedom. If you're taking notes, and I encourage you all to take notes, if you're in Academy of Righteousness, I'm looking and making sure you're taking notes, and your coaches will be observing Sunday. The sermon title, this is for Academy of Righteousness students, but it's also for everyone. You can get in a system, and the system I want to teach you is you put the title on the top of the page. So I want to make sure I give you, you know what, that title first. So this title is Freedom. Last week was part one. This week is part two, Freedom Part Two. My first point, Paul met Jesus, not Judaism. So let me review a little last week. This was a letter. It was written by Paul to a group of churches. This group of churches, they started doing well. The Jews were looking for the Messiah. Their Messiah came, and instead of being humble and recognizing that Jesus was going to come back again later, how many know a lot of times we want stuff now? Yeah. You know what? A lot of times we will be willing to take something that's not as valuable and get it right away than waiting to get something more valuable later. It's a big problem in our society. It's instant. We want instant gratification. So instead of waiting for the prince, we'll marry the frog. Oh, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Amen? Okay. So, that's what happened with the Jewish people. They wanted a Messiah, but they wanted a Messiah. They wanted to dictate what the Messiah was going to look like. It's the same problem with us right now. Remember Sunday? Peter said, well, what if I forgive them up to seven times? Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, I didn't say seven times. What's he doing? That's what we want to do. We want to make a religion. We want to put Jesus in our religion. We want to fit Jesus into the form of our religion. Jesus won't fit into your form. Yeah, but I want to have sex with who I want to have sex with, and I want you, and Jesus just loves everyone, and I can just do no boop, 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 boop. No, he'll love you, but he ain't gonna change that. The ramifications of sin is death. Does that make sense? He'll love you enough to say, stop it. I've told you 88 times, stop it. I'm not going to change. There's going to be negative ramifications. And that's not just for sex. It's for, you know, all kinds of sin. That's right, yeah. You know, gossip. You know what I mean? You know, it's interesting because I'll have pastors, you know, come to this church and they love the spirit of this church. Well, let me tell you what, when Tamara and I first, you know, got this church, although we had some very, very gracious people at this church, you know what, there is a spirit of ugliness here. You know, Pastor, you say what you want to say, but don't you, you know, you don't go over your boundary. And we're going to tell you what your boundary is. Well, what did you do? I sat down with the elders and I said, hey, you know, and what was I to do? The elders I had, I didn't, you know, select them. But I sat there and said, hey, I'll tell you what we're going to do. There's a new sheriff in town, amen? Amen. And we're not going to, and I wasn't trying to be macho. I'm trying to get the thing back on the plumb line. Amen. I mean, no, a church ought to act like a church. Amen. I mean, if the elders don't understand, we've got to be kind to everyone, especially those who are in the household of faith. I mean, stop talking to me like that. Acting like I'm, you know what, some, you know, ugly stepchild. I'm not. I'm your pastor. You know what? And I'm going to say, hey, knock it off. You know what? I would go into our elders' meetings and, you know, true story, and I'd have a tape recorder. And I'd press play. I hear what we're going to do. We're going to press play. And all of a sudden, wow, the behavior started getting better. No, you're not going to act like that. I'm gonna give you honor. But we're going to give everybody honor in this church. The Bible says, give double honor to the elders, especially. Somebody say especially. Those that are teaching the word. Well, I don't want to. That's what I'm saying. We can't come up with our own form of, you know what? The Bible tells us what to do. Amen? We are the clay. Amen? And I said, enough. And I'm holding myself. You're going to find me. I'm not going to give you dishonor either. I'm going to honor you. And I did honor them. But this is going to be a two-way street, Bucky. Amen? This is making sense? And thank God. God was, you know what? God went before me. And he taught me how to get this thing on the plumb line. But we have people come to this church and they say, you know what? I don't understand. You know, it's like, man, those people really love you. Amen. Duh. Can I help you out a little bit? It will come back to you. You know what? What happened? I tell you what happened. You know, as you measure it out, it's going to be measured back to you. You mean? They got a lot of love from me. Amen? But I wouldn't look the other way. You're going to call yourself an elder, then you're going to act like an elder. We started, you know what? I changed the times that we had the meetings. When did you have meetings? Right after prayer. Amen? We'll have a prayer meeting, and after prayer, we're going to have our elders meeting. And you ain't going to act like a, that ain't going to happen. And we started raising, you know what, the standard. And the standard was raised, listen, just to what God said, how elders ought to act. Amen. And when we act like, when pastor acts how pastors ought to act, when elders act like elders ought to act, when Christians act like how Christians ought to act, then things start going good. Amen? Amen. It's not coincidental. It's purposeful. And I will purposeful talk to you over and over. How many ever heard me talk about honor? Let me try that again. Have you ever heard me talk about honor? Talk about it all the time. Why? Because it needs to be a DNA of this church. You need to know whether you've been here for 6 years or 6 months or 6 weeks. You know what? You need to understand what the DNA of this church is. DNA of this church is, you know what? I'm an honor angel. Why? Because he is in the family of God. Amen. And I'm going to be kind to him. Amen. And if he treats me with disrespect, I'm gonna have a little talk with him. Amen. Amen. And if the ushers, you know what, start acting with disrespect, I've talked to the ushers. Say, hey, didn't I ask you to do it like this? Where's Mark? I've told Mark, hey Mark, you know what? We have to have an usher's meeting. And I'm not talking about Mark. Mark is a head usher because he does the best as far as walking in honor. But I've talked to the ushers and said, hey, you know what? I asked you guys to do this, and you know what? And I meant it.
Yeah, that's right. Come on. Hit it.
You should have liked that? Yeah. I did, huh? Right? I'm not disrespecting them. I'm saying, not these two guys. But they were part of that meeting. Well, who are you talking about? None of your bizwax, amen? Amen? That ain't none of your bizwax. That's you want to get into that gossip. We ain't going there. I'm just using them as an example to say, listen, we've got to be honest with people. Dr. Radke taught me the best, the highest form of respect is to give people respect and treat them with honor and tell them the truth. I said, hey, you know what? Ushers, stop it. I've told you guys 3 times this. Stop it. Just let me make sure I tell you 1 time. And I don't want to keep on telling you the same thing over and over again. Why? Because you're not respecting me. Does this make sense? And so the we can do it. Listen, we can look at the Jews and say, oh, look how the Jews did. Well, okay. Yeah, but look how we do. We can come up with our own stuff and twist it and make Jesus, you know what, a form of godliness, but it's not godliness because we change it. That's what the Jews did. They said, you know what, they had Jesus right there. All these Old Testament prophecies. You know what I mean? How in the world, you and I look and go, how in the world did they miss Jesus? Here's how they missed Jesus. Jesus didn't came to serve. They wanted a Jesus that came to jack up. Who'd they want? They wanted the Romans to be jacked up. They're tired of, you know what? They wanted, you know what? Son of David. You know what? You know what? That's what they wanted. And when Jesus, you know what, was a servant, how many know you have to do things in order? What did Jesus come to do? He first had to take care of our sin. First had to die on the cross. Trust me, Jesus is going to come back. He's going to bring some order. Amen? If you're a Christian, you won't be real happy. Amen? Amen? So the churches in Galatia, they started to receive that Jesus. But then after they received that Jesus, the Jesus that Paul was talking about, there was some Jewish people came in and they said, oh, yeah, that Jesus. But you know, we got to add a little to this. And they added this Judaism's junk. Paul meant Jesus. Not Judaism. Not rules. Let me show it to you in the context. Look at chapter 1, verse 11. But I made known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me was not according to man. Paul was being accused. See, these Judaizers came in and to deceive the people back into a form of Judaism, they had to rip on Paul. And they ripped on Paul and they told Paul, hey, Paul, you know what you're trying to do? Paul is taking a doctrine a little bit from over here and 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 a little bit from over here, and he's coming up with his own doctrine. And so they tried to discredit Paul. And Paul says, let me tell you what. But I make known to you, I'm telling you the truth, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me to you is not according to man. I didn't get this from a man. Watch this. For I neither received it from a man, nor was I taught it. Somebody didn't teach it to me, and I didn't even receive it from a man. But it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. It wasn't something that was taught to me by someone. It came to me as a revelation of who Jesus was. Remember, he was going to persecute the church, and God says to him, you know what? What are you doing? And he says, Lord, what are you talking about? And he gets this revelation. You know what? I'm Jesus. I'm the Messiah. Why are you persecuting? You know, you got your sword pointed at the real God. How'd that revelation come? It came from Jesus Christ. And what I would say to every single one of us is that if you're really born again, you've got that same revelation. Watch this. Your revelation. Well, let me show it to you in a minute. Let me show it to you in the word first. Look at this. Verse 13. For you have heard of my form of conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. Verse 14. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my counterparts, contemporaries. I advanced over them in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the, watch this, traditions of my fathers. Wow. Jesus says to some of the Jewish leaders, you're causing these people to be in bondage, and the students are going to be more fit for hell than you guys. Right? Yep. Paul's saying, let me tell you what, I was so zealous for the rules of Judaism that I was so zealous that there were other of my contemporaries and I passed them up. They were zealous, but I was more zealous, so I got promoted over them. And people looked at me and said, wow, look at that. That guy is a more, believes more in Judaism than the guy who taught him. Let me tell you what, I was highly, watch this, advanced in Judaism. Well, what's the problem with that? The problem with that was these were commandments written on stone. God said, that's not what I came to do. I came to write these commandments on your heart.
Amen, amen.
I remember there was a person, and she was coming to church here, and she was a single mom, and she had two small kids, and Tamara and I just started at the church, and we were so glad that she was coming to our church. She lived just up the street, and she was just a baby Christian.
And some people came by her door one day, and you know what? They had nice shirts and, you know, and a nice tie, and you know what? Had bicycles, and you know what? They knocked on her door, and you know what? And she opened them in, and they said, we want to teach you the gospel. And she was happy to receive them in. And they said, you know what? Let us talk to you. There was, the Bible's good and the Bible's great, but you know what? A while back, there was a young man. His name was Joseph Smith. And you know what? And he had an angel. That angel was called Moroni. And that angel came to him. And the angel told Joseph Smith, young Joseph Smith, who was hungry for the things of God, told Joseph Smith, Joseph, the Bible is good, but I have further revelation for you that will enlighten you and cause you to go deeper in the things of God. How many know Paul says, let me tell you what, if an angel of light comes to you preaching something different than what I've taught you, you tell him exactly, run. Let him be accursed. But how many know people who don't know anything can be taught something that's wrong? And the next thing you know, when Tamara and I were trying to reach out to her and saying, hey, what happened? Because we found out the Mormon people got to her. All of a sudden, we were the demonic ones. We were the bad guys. Exactly. You know what? And I couldn't talk to her very much. She had already been told by her uppers, you know what? That Pastor Drew, he's crazy. Don't listen to him anymore. We have the real revelation. Listen. You know what got her? You know what she liked about Mormonism? They told her, hey, stop smoking cigarettes. Stop drinking coffee. We have these rules. And she liked those rules. And God's like, listen. You know what the rules were designed to do? The rules were designed to teach you how much you needed Jesus. That's what the rules were for. He's saying, look. You know what? It's not about these rules. I did the rules. But then I met Jesus. Amen. You know why I don't commit adultery? You know why I don't fornicate? You know why I don't do those things? Because I love Jesus. Amen. How many know that's different than oh, you know what? Because this is what my religion says. No, God wants to change you from the inside out. That's what God wants. He wants a relation. He says, let me tell you what I got. I had all these rules. I jammed in these rules. You know what? And there's people and they're so far from God. God doesn't want robots. He wants your heart. Amen. And I would say this. You show me someone who's in love with Jesus, and I'll show you someone who's going to be tender to the things of God. Do you understand? See, real obedience, where you're really starting to function in holiness. And how many know at this church, I want you to be holy. I want you to be righteous. I don't want you to be hypocritical. Oh, I'm a Christian and I'm a follower of Christ. You know, I'm a follower of Christ. I don't do anything that God says, amen, but I go to church. How many know that's not what I'm looking for? That's not what God's looking for. But I'm saying, you know what, you get on to this rule kind of religion. That's what Paul had. He said, let me tell you what, I learned something that was fresh. Jesus was revealed to me. Not a bunch of, listen, I did all that. I was zealous for that stuff. And all I did was become a hater. Amen. You ever met somebody who's religious? They hate people. You know what I mean?
No, we hate sin.
No, they hate people. Amen. Somebody said to me, Pastor, what do you do when somebody comes through the door and they're a guy, but they're dressed up, they got lipstick on and they have a purse, and what do you do? I don't know. What did I do when you came in the door? Come on, don't shut me down when I'm preaching good. What did I do when you came in the door? Amen. I just said, hey. We're glad you're here. Amen. You know, I mean, what is that? That's just some kind of, hey, which one of us, when we come through the door, aren't jacked up in our thinking? I don't know which one of us are. Not, I, you know what? Not me.